Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, we'll be reading verses 19 through verse 23. If you'll join me on the even verses, verses 20 and verse 22 this morning of Luke chapter 16. And if you found Luke 16, if you'll please stand in honor of reading God's word this morning. Luke chapter 16, beginning verse number 19, and I'll start there. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to read. Open your book this morning. Lord, I do pray that you bless the singing before the message now. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us, help us to have listening ears and open hearts, the message the man of God has for us this morning. We'll give you all the glory and praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
I saw a blind man tapping along, losing his way as he passed through the throng. Tears filled my eyes. I said, friend, you can't see. With a smile on his face, he replied to me, I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. What a wonderful time we'll all have up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus, his glory to share. And you'll not see one blind man in Hallelujah Square.
I saw a cripple dragging his feet. He couldn't walk like we do down the street. I said, my friend, I feel sorry for you.
But he said, up in heaven, I'm gonna walk just like you.
I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. What a wonderful time we'll all have up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus, his glory to share. And you'll not see one crippled in Hallelujah Square.
I saw an old man grasping for breath. Soon he
crippled, and we'll all live.
wonderful song. Thank you, fellas. I enjoyed that this morning. Wonderful. I have to turn the coin over now. They sang about heaven. And I'm going to have to speak to you out of Luke chapter 16 on this subject today, questions from hell that never get asked. Questions from hell that never get asked. As real as the place is they just sang about, so is this place that we read about in Luke 16 this morning. So I'm going to pray with you and let's ask the Lord to bless the lesson, the message to our hearts. Father, it's good to hear a song about heaven, especially right before a message on the subject of hell. Help me today, please, to be honest and truthful with your word. And Lord, I pray that your spirit will speak to our hearts. God, we're going to end up in one of those two places. Everybody in this room is either going to be in heaven or in hell someday. And I pray, God, for some in this room this morning who may not be prepared for heaven. Would you please speak to hearts today? It's my prayer, and I ask it and trust it in the Lord Jesus' name. And amen. Is there a part of your job description that you dislike or really prefer not to do? I would guess that for all of you who are involved in some kind of work somewhere, there's a part of what you have to do that you don't enjoy doing, but you do it because it's part of your job description, okay? I kind of was thinking this past week a little bit back through my life. I sold papers when I started selling papers when I was 10. Had a paper out and had to take a bicycle and down there in Atlanta and then deliver papers. And the part of that job that I really disliked was collecting. This is before people paying online. Okay, this is back when the only way they kept was the abacus was how they counted. You know what I'm saying? You know, but before anybody paid bills online, and you had to go to the house and collect the money. And so I'd have to go out on Saturday afternoon, you know, knock on the door, and now here I am. I'm the paper boy. And some guys would pay weekly, and some guys would pay weekly W-E-E-K-L-Y, and other families would pay weekly W-E-A-K-L-Y, and I'd have to really squeeze it out of them. But I didn't enjoy collecting. I enjoyed delivering papers and selling new subscriptions, but I didn't enjoy going and collecting the money. And then I worked at Ramsey's Supermarket and a little local mom-and-pop type grocery store in our community when we moved outside of Atlanta. And I sorted bottles. And I won't even go into it. I've talked about it before. The most monotonous job in the world is sorting pop bottles, okay? And this was in the days when all the different plastics weren't available like they are today. And it was either a glass bottle or a can. And really the glass bottles were what was popular. And little 6-ounce bottles and 12, and oh my goodness, the 10-ounce bottles. And it was just monotonous work to sort bottles. And then went to college and worked at UPS. And Brother James, and I had to deal with oversized packages. I didn't do what Brother James, he drives a truck, got a good job. I sorted packages into these boxes, and on a carousel, and they would sort them in there. Then I would have to take them out of the carousel and put them in the little brown trucks that you see. You know, what can brown do for you? I used to load those brown trucks, okay? And boy, the oversized packages were always a nuisance, and I hated dealing with that. And then I went to Thrall Carr and learned how to weld. I didn't mind welding, but boy, I didn't like grinding the welds. And I got a piece of slag stuck in my eye one time, had to go have it removed at the emergency room. And so there's been something about the jobs that I have worked over the years as part of the job description that I didn't really care for. I didn't like to do. You say, is there anything in the ministry? And I've been in the ministry 33 and a half years. Is there anything in the ministry that you don't prefer to do? Well, yes, there is. There is something in the ministry that I don't prefer to do, that I really dislike doing. It's what I'm doing this morning, preaching on the subject of hell. I really don't like that. It doesn't make me excited. And the truth of the matter is, I'm really not acquainted with too many preacher friends who do enjoy preaching on the subject of hell. But folks, listen, as a God-called preacher, I have to preach. It is my duty, my responsibility to preach what Paul called, watch it now, the whole counsel of God. In other words, preach the whole book. Don't leave anything out. And if there's one thing for certain, there's a lot that God put in His book on the subject of hell. And so as a God-called preacher, I have to preach on it. And I have to, at their time, I have to make myself do it at times. I really don't, I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. I don't get any pleasure out of it. The only pleasure I get out of it is just in obedience to God, obeying the Lord. Now, the story recorded in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, is not a parable. All right? Jesus told a lot of parables in his, during his earthly ministry, which was a story that illustrated a spiritual truth. But what he said in these verses happened. Verses 19 through 31, listen to me. It's a part of human history. Okay? And the way we know that is because there are proper names used in this story. In parables, you never find proper names used. Okay? A certain man, unnamed. Or this man, unnamed, the householder. This man goes, not named. But you have the name of Abraham in this passage. And you have the proper name of Lazarus in this passage. So, we know that what is recorded here in verses 19 through 31 is not a parable. This is a story. This happened, okay? And Jesus told this is a part of human history. In verse number 19, there was a rich man. Now, we're not told his name. And maybe it's just as well. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who did fare sumptuously every day. And in verse number 20, there was a beggar named Lazarus. We have his name. And he did sit at the rich man's gate and his body was full of sores. And in verse number 22, the Bible tells us that the beggar did die and was carried into heaven. Verse 30, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And then in verse number 22, we're also told that the rich man did die. In the same verse, the rich man also died and was buried. But the different story is that in verse number 23, we're told that the rich man opened his eyes in hell. Now, folks, that's a part of human history. They sang about heaven. I'm preaching about hell. Both are taught extensively in the Word of God. All right? So, this matter of this rich man dying, going to hell, that Lazarus dying, going to heaven. Now, there's not a lot said by the rich man. There's not a lot said by him. There's a brief conversation that he had with Abraham that is recorded for us. And I want you to notice before I get into it that in verse number 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham. So this beggar who died and went to hell, he looked across into heaven, and there he saw and recognized Abraham, and he called him Father Abraham. Now what does that indicate, Ben? That indicates that probably this rich man was a Jew. Because he called him Father Abraham. Now listen carefully before I get to some other things. If eternal life in heaven was passed down through family or through the practice of religion, this man would not have been in hell. The fact that he called him Father Abraham proves that he was a Jew. And he was probably one who practiced Judaism. And so if eternal life in heaven was passed down through family or by practicing religion, then this man would not have been in hell. But listen this morning, don't miss this now. Eternal life in heaven is not gained because of the family you come from or the tag that you wear religiously. It is not gained by that. How many times have I asked somebody over these 34 years here in this area and other areas, hey, listen, if you died today, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? And they've said to me, oh, yes, I'm a Baptist. Oh, yes, I'm a Methodist. Oh, yeah, yes, I go to heaven, I'm a Catholic. Oh, yes, I go to heaven, I'm a Pentecostal. And they are depending on their tag. The tag that they wear, if you will, as I say, religiously, to go. But folks, tags do not get you into heaven. A lot of Baptists die and go to hell. A lot of Catholics die and go to hell. This man's a Jew. He's a Judaizer. He's in hell. And he's not there. He's not in heaven. His tag, his religious tag, did not gain him entrance into heaven, because only the blood of Jesus can wash your sin away, as the choir sang this morning in their good song. Now, there are only two requests that the rich man made of Father Abraham. And before I look at those requests, I want to point out what the rich man did not bring up in conversation with Abraham. And that's very telling. First of all, I want you to notice, he did not ask, "Where am I?" He did not ask, "Where am I?" That's not found in that passage. You don't find Father Abraham, "Where am I?" He didn't have to ask where he was, folks. He knew. Now listen, I've had people say to me, "Well, Pastor, I just don't believe in hell." I don't know if that's you this morning or not, but friend, your unbelief in hell does not change its reality. You can proclaim that you don't believe in hell 1,000 times, but its reality is not changed. I'll promise you that some of those people who lived in Spain, they didn't believe that the world was round, but their unbelief did not change the shape of the earth. He didn't have to ask, "Where am I?" Your unbelief in hell will be dispelled the first 3 seconds you are there. And I want to remind you this morning that there is no mention of time passing between the rich man's death and going to hell. He dies at the end of verse number 22, and in verse number 23, he opens his eyes in hell. I mean, it was immediate. As soon as he took his last breath here, he took his next breath in that place called hell. You know, I read about, I guess you can do this, I wouldn't even be interested in it, it's not my fancy, but I read about these trips that people can buy, and they're called Destination Unknown. And you don't know where you're going. You pay for the trip and you pack your bags and you go to the place when you're told to be there. And your destination is not known to you. It's not fully known where you are going. But I want to tell you something, friend. When you leave this life, it is either heaven like they sang about, or it's hell like I'm preaching about. And there won't be any mistaking where you are, because the two are just night and day difference. So he did not ask, "Where am I?" Number two, he did not ask, "What am I doing here?" You won't find that question asked by the rich man. He didn't look across the way, the gulf there, at Father Abraham and say, "Abraham, what in the world am I doing here?" The man knew that he was there because he did not repent. You say, "How do you know that?" Well, look down at verse number 30. He's in conversation now. We'll get to this in just a few minutes. He's in conversation with Abraham, and he wants Father Abraham to send Lazarus to go and talk to his brothers. He has five brothers that are still living on planet Earth. And this rich man wants Lazarus to go talk to these five brothers. And Abraham says, "No, they're not going to do that. They have Moses and the prophets." Now look at verse 30. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." So that right there shows me that this man knew he was in hell because he did not repent. And if his brothers would repent, they wouldn't have to come to that awful place. Listen, he was not in hell because he was rich. Our socialist-minded society would like for us to believe that. That all people who have any kind of money are devious and evil and wicked and will probably end up in hell because they're rich. This man did not end up in hell because he was rich. He ended up in hell because he did not repent. In chapter 13 of the Gospel of Luke, in verse number 3, Jesus said this. Now watch me. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And then he said it again in verse number 5. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And the setting of Jesus' comments are very interesting, because he's talking to a group of people who heard that Pilate had butchered some Galileans. He had these Galileans butchered. Now listen, I hate to mention this, it's kind of graphic. Pilate had some Galileans butchered, and he had their blood taken and mingled with the blood of the sacrifices that were being offered. That's a pretty gruesome way to die. And the people standing around talking to Jesus, watch this, had this attitude. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, they got what was coming to them. Look at how they died. That's proof that they got what was coming to them. And then there was a Tower of Siloam that had fallen, and I think the number killed was 18. That'd be a pretty gruesome way to die too, a tower falling on you. We kind of witnessed that here in our country a few years ago. And Jesus said, do you really believe that they had it coming? And that's why they died like they did, because they had it coming. Boy, they must have been bad sinners. And there's proof right there that they had it coming. That's how wicked they were. They mean, boy, those type deaths and the way they died is proof that they had it coming. Folks, listen to what Jesus said to that crowd. He said, listen to me. And he said it twice. He said, you can die in your recliner at home. In your sleep. But unless you repent, you're going to perish and die and go to hell. It's not how you die that determines whether or not you're a sinner. It's the fact that you were born. It's not how you die. Were you born? So that's a silly question. Well, I know it is, but you were born. You have a physical birthday. I have a physical birthday. And the fact that we're born means that we were born with a sin nature. And the fact that we were born with a sin nature, we've exercised that sin nature by sinning against God. And the Bible says for the fact that the matter is that there is a payment for sin, which is the eternal separation from God forever in the place called hell. Folks, it's not how you die that proves you deserve to go to hell. It's the fact that you were born with a sin nature. And unless you repent, you're going to die and go to hell. The man didn't ask Father Abraham, what am I doing here? He knew why he was there. He had not repented. You see, the poor rich man, and that's not a misstatement, the poor rich man, he might have been pretty rich, folks, but what good were his riches now? This poor soul, he's in hell. This poor rich man, he never got started on the path of salvation. Now watch me. Listen carefully this morning. Repentance is where it begins. Faith is where it ends. True repentance always ends in faith. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me carefully. Here's a man on planet Earth. And this man is a liar. And this man is selfish. And this man is greedy. And this man is wicked in his heart. And he hears a preacher preach on, or some friend share some verses with him about sin and how his sin is going to have to be paid for. And that man feels regretful. And he feels remorse. And he feels shame. And he wishes it weren't that way. And when he dies, he goes to hell. We say, Pastor, he was regretful. And he was remorseful. And he was shameful. And he just wished it didn't have to be that way. Yes, but Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's what Jesus said. This man's regret, this man's remorse, this man's shame is not what ends up in believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Real Bible repentance is more than regret, it's more than remorse, and it's more than shame. You say, what is real Bible repentance? I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. I'm wrong, and I'm sorry for my wrong, and I am turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only to forgive me of my wicked sin that I am guilty of. That's Bible repentance. Repentance is not regret. Repentance is not remorse. Repentance is not just, oh man, I wish I hadn't lived that way. I'm ashamed of myself. Repentance is, oh God, I'm guilty. And I'm wrong, and I'm sorry, And repentance is more than just believing that everybody is a sinner. Repentance is confessing, I am a sinner. I've witnessed to a lot of people who agreed with me and agreed with the Bible about the fact that all have sinned, and yet they didn't get saved. Want to know why? Never became personal. Repentance is, I have sinned. I am wrong. I am guilty. I have done wrong against God. And I am in need of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. And friend, that is Bible repentance. Watch me. Real Bible repentance always ends up in faith in Jesus Christ, because real Bible repentance removes all the excuses and brings you face to face with the fact that I am a sinner and I deserve to go to hell, and Jesus is the only way out of hell. That's real Bible repentance. Friend, you can feel regret, you can feel remorse, you can feel shame, and die and go to hell. And this man realized in hell that he had never repented. You say, well, man, he can do something. No, it's too late now. But he knows he's there because he did not repent, because he told Abraham, my brothers don't have to come here if they do repent. That's what he said in verse number 3. Are you with me this morning? Everybody starts getting nervous when you start talking about Bible repentance. And here's what some of you are doing right now. You're running back in your mind. Well, did I really repent? Listen, friend. If you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are saved and believing faith in Jesus Christ, you had real Bible repentance, because that's what brought you to the place where you knew you had to receive Jesus as your Savior. I'm talking to a group of folks, maybe this morning, though, you are not sure if you're saved. In fact, you know, you don't have any idea if you're going to heaven or hell. And you never even thought about it. You thought, you know what, I do okay in life because I make some mistakes and I'm regretful and I have some remorse about the mistakes I've made. That's not Bible repentance. Because real Bible repentance always ends in faith. So this lost man, this rich man here, he didn't ask, where am I? And he didn't ask, what am I doing here? Let me give you the third question he didn't ask. He did not ask, how long will I be here? Now look at verse number 26. Abraham says to him, beside all this, the rich man, he asked for Lazarus to come with a drop of water and cool his tongue. So in verse 26, Abraham says, no, that can't happen. And then he begins to explain why Lazarus can't come to him. He said, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He said, there is a great gulf fixed between us. Now watch. He said, nobody from here can go there. And nobody from there can come here. And the rich man hears this, and the reality of that dawns on him, because look at what he says in verse number 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. There's resignation. There is acceptance. He realizes that he is there to stay. I can't leave. Well then, Father Abraham, if I can't go anywhere, would you please send Lazarus to tell my brothers? He's resigned to the fact, he's accepted the fact that he is there to stay. You don't find the rich man saying to Father Abraham, wait a minute, Father Abraham, you mean I'm not getting out of here? He never asked that question. People, when preachers or people, your friends or relatives talk to you about eternal destiny, that is exactly what it is. Eternal. A long time. That's not a long time, that's forever. It's eternal. I want you to turn your Bible to the end of the book, okay? The very end of the book, the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. Because I want to show you something this morning. I want you to see it for yourself, and if you brought a Bible, you'll find it. Revelation, all the way to the very end of the New Testament. When I leave this life, my final destination is either heaven or hell, and it is fixed. It's fixed. It can't be changed. And the rich man, he didn't ask, how long will I be here? Now, I want you to look at chapter 20 in the book of Revelation. Chapter 20 and verse number 11. Okay? Chapter 20 and verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. Now, this is called the great white throne judgment. This is God's throne of judgment. This is the final judgment of all time. And so the people, verse number 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I don't have time to go into everything, but look at me. Verse number 12, you know what verse number 12 tells us? Verse number 12 tells us that the rich man will be at this judgment. Okay? You say, well, I thought the rich man was in hell. Look what it says again there in verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Look at verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Are you reading your Bible with me? Luke 16 tells us that when the rich man died, he went to hell. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 13 at the great white throne judgment tells us that the dead that were in hell come out and they stand before God. I want you to notice what happens. End of verse 13, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now here's what happens, friend. The rich man with all others who've died in human history who are in hell at the great white throne judgment will stand before God, and their names, there will be one last look in the book of life, and their names will not be found in the book of life because they never repented. They never got saved. And the Bible tells us that death and hell, the grave, the body in the graves, death and hell, the soul in hell, death and hell would be cast into the lake of fire. See, I believe with all of my heart the Bible teaches us that hell is in the center of the earth right now. But one of these days God is going to destroy this earth. We'll see this in just a minute. So there's an eternal lake of fire. You say, where is it, Pastor Angel? I don't know. I don't have to know. God said it. Whether I believe it or not, that settles it. Okay? So this rich man, he comes out of hell for this brief moment. In his body, he stands before God. And because his name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, he is cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And then verse 2, he talks about the Jerusalem, the holy city. And then in verse number 3, he says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain. Watch this now. For the former things are past away. The former things are passed away. Was death and hell part of the former things? Yeah. So when God creates the new heaven and the new earth, death and hell, part of the former things that are passed away. Listen to me. People in the lake of fire will never be remembered. Never be remembered. Because the former things are going to pass away. He talks about God wiping away the tears from their eyes. You know, at that great white throne judgment, those of us who are saved will be observing that judgment. The Bible teaches that. And you know what? Here's what's sad, folks. I don't miss this. I hate to be so graphic, but I don't know what else to do for you this morning. Here's some person standing in heaven observing, watching the great white throne judgment. And their dad stands before God, lost. And their dad is cast into the lake of fire. And that son, that daughter, has to watch that man get cast into the lake of fire. How are they going to enjoy heaven? How are they going to enjoy heaven? How some parent who got saved, whose child never got saved, teenage boy, teenage girl, never got saved, and there they are standing before the judgment, the great white throne, and that parent has to watch that child be thrown into the lake of fire. How could heaven be heaven? And that's the tears that God is wiping away. And then, the former things are passed away, never to be remembered again. That's why the rich man said, please, send Lazarus to my brothers. I can't go anywhere. But I don't want them coming here. That's why he said what he did. He never asked, where am I? He never asked, what am I doing here? He never asked, how long am I going to be here? His eternal destiny, because he died without Christ, was hell. He didn't repent and get saved. And now it's fixed. It's fixed. I'll tell you what he did ask for. He did ask for some brief physical relief from the pain. He said, could Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water? How much water can you get on the tip of your finger? Can he dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue? You know what he was asking for? One drop. I could have one drop of water. And Abraham said, no, that can't happen. And then he asked, now watch it, for some mental relief from the knowledge that his brothers were coming to that place. He said, man, please let Lazarus go talk to them. Now don't miss this, folks. This poor rich man did not argue with Abraham about the water, but he argued with Abraham about the witness. Please let Lazarus go and tell my brothers so they won't have to come to this place. And Abraham said, no, Lazarus is not going back to earth. They have Moses, they have the prophets, they have the written word of God, they have the testimony of Scripture, and they can hear that. And the rich man said, no, no, no. He said, please. He said, sure. He said, they may not listen to the prophets, and they may not listen to the Scripture, so please. But if one comes back from the dead, he argued with Abraham about the witness. He didn't argue about the water. But he argued about the witness. He did not want his brothers coming to that awful, awful place. He couldn't stand the thought of his brothers going. Now, friend, listen, that's the part of my job description that I don't enjoy. I don't enjoy. Because some people in this room have had relatives die lost. Some people in this room have relatives living who are lost. And there might be people in this room who are lost. I don't enjoy telling you about hell. The only good part of it is I get to tell you that there's a way out. And that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if the reality of this message brings you to the place where you're ready to say, you know what? I'm not spending eternity in hell for anybody. And it brings your pride to nothing. And you say, I need to be saved. You know what? Telling you the truth about it was worthwhile. The cross of Christ, it stands alone. The only way. soul finds home. You come by way of the cross, or you don't go. Examine your heart this morning. Are you saved? Don't tell me your tag. Don't give me your tag. Are you saved? I'll tell you what, I felt bad. One time I stole something and I felt really bad about that. I'm not talking about regret. I'm talking about have you repented and trusted in Christ. Are you saved? Church member or not? Questions never asked from hell. Where am I? Why am I here? And how long will I be? You don't want to wait to then to know all that. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask you very carefully and quietly to just bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to just ask a simple question this morning. Just ask a question. And I just want to ask you to be honest, okay? Would you just be honest? Say, Pastor Angel, I am not sure about my eternal destiny. I'm not sure. And I'm not going to let anything, I don't want to let anything keep me from making sure. So, Pastor, I'm going to ask you to pray for me because I don't know for certain that I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Just slip it up in the air. God bless you. Is there another? Just slip it up. I don't know for sure where I'm going when I die. Anybody else from front to back, side to side? I don't know where I'm going. I die. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? All right. Who would say, well, maybe this one, this one, along with this one, if you're not sure that you're saved, I would invite you to come, let somebody take a Bible and show you how to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved and know for sure that you're on your way to heaven someday and avoid that awful place called hell. And you're not going to heaven because of your tag, because of your family, because of being saved. And I wouldn't gamble with it. I would make sure, I would be certain. I would invite you to come when we start the music in just a moment. If you're sure that you're saved and yet you've not been baptized yet, you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and you know you should be obedient to Christ in baptism, and you want to do that, then you come, and the music begins, and we'll get you ready for baptism. And I would encourage you to obey the Lord, step out and do that. And then this morning, so very carefully, it pains, I know, some of you in this room. Pains me too. My wife's family, to think that some of our relatives and friends are lost. Let's not wait until it's too late to get burdened. You can't do anything to make them accept Christ, but we can be a witness. We can testify. We can pray. We can ask God to speak to their heart. And maybe God wants to impress that upon you this morning. It would be a great time to come and kneel and say, God, please, please save and give the name. Please save them. Please work on the heart and save them, I pray. Heavenly Father, I have full confidence in your word. You said that if the word goes out, it would not return unto us void. And I pray that the Word of God would do a work in the hearts of God's people today in a very special way. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, this type of message just really makes us very sober about those around us who are lost. Maybe relatives or friends, co-workers. And then Lord, if there's someone in the room this morning that's not sure that they're saved, I pray that today might be the day of their salvation. Oh God, would they come to Christ and repent and be saved and have their eternal destiny fixed for heaven instead of hell. Is my prayer. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The ladies are going to play a song of invitation. Would you come this morning if you need to be saved? If you'd like for us to take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, now's the time to do it. Or follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You do as God wants you to do this morning. You obey the Lord. Now's the time while we wait. You want to come and pray this morning and ask God to speak to the heart of somebody that's on your mind and heart. Now's a good time to do it. You come while we wait. You obey the Lord today.